Time for our NFL insider, Jason Lockenfora. Are you a big Halloween guy? Do you the kids get all dressed up?
You know, personally, I don't get into it at all, except I've got a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 5-year-old, and now a dog. So I really don't have a choice. Jeez. You know?
Does the dog dress up?
This news got broken to me like last night before I went on air. Like, nobody's trick-or-treating in our neighborhood anymore. Like, Rocco wants to go trick-or-treat, like, two neighborhoods over with his friend, so I got to get him there. And then Chloe's going out to Timonium to trick-or-treat with her. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, we've got this neighborhood, all these cul-de-sacs. Like, you know, we take them out, we spin around, in and out in a couple of hours. I can walk around, open container, drinking a beer, and not have to worry about getting in trouble. And, like, you know, just drag the dog in a wagon or whatever. I'm like, what? Like, now I got to get in a car and drive people multiple places and then pick them back up?
Yeah.
But you know what is, you know what though? And then I looked and saw the Chicago Bears are on Monday Night Football, and I'm like, I'd rather do that. You know what? I would rather drive around, sacrifice my beer, go to multiple, like, trick-or-treat locations, and get home at halftime. I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, you're probably all right there. I think we'll all be all right. Boy, you think about between the Sunday Nighter, the Monday Nighter, and now tonight, Jacksonville, Tennessee. I don't know. Is there an overture? Do you hear a cry about the, I don't know if it's the entertainment level or the excitement level having really gone down this year in the NFL?
Well, I think it's quality of play. I mean, we can dress it up and call it different things and, you know, come up with different theories, and we can blame Colin Kaepernick for kneeling. I mean, whatever, but that's a theory. We could blame the election. We could blame Major League Baseball having a very compelling postseason. And I think those are all mitigating factors. But I think the overriding prevailing factor is there's just not that many teams that week in, week out, you think are going to play quality football, offense, defense, special teams. And that wears on you. And when, you know, there's three to four really good teams, I guess, New England, Seattle, maybe Pittsburgh on their day. I mean, like, even Denver. I mean, you know, Denver won the Super Bowl last year without a quarterback. They're trying to do it again. They don't play particularly attractive football. You know, I think it's the quality of play. And then you've got three primetime games a week. Everybody has to play on Thursday night, right? Which I get, because it's a competitive balance issue. It would be unfair if some teams played on Thursday and some didn't. So, well, that exposes the 20 teams in the league that you'd rather pretend don't exist. Well, you're going to have to watch them in primetime, at least on Thursday. And then the Monday night games are generally not that good, because NBC gets the best games on Sunday, and then CBS and Fox are protecting their best games for the 4 o'clock window on Sunday. So you're kind of left with table scraps there to some degree, which is why San Francisco and Chicago have been on primetime, I feel like, at least three times each. Maybe more? I don't know. I feel like I've seen the Cutler got knocked out on national television. Hoyer's played at least once or twice in primetime, and now they're up again on Monday. Who wants to see that?
Carolina.
Not me.
Yeah, tonight would be the perfect example, isn't it? Like,
trick or treat, baby.
Yeah.
You guys do Halloween the same night as us. I know we differ on Thanksgiving, but Canadian and American Halloween is the same, right? Monday night for all.
Yes, that's correct.
Enjoy your candy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Carolina at home, off a bye against Arizona. Depending on the division and strength of schedule and just everything with them, they're 1-5. It's a must-win kind of a deal. Are they done, or can they spark some hope with a win at home against the Cards?
I mean, a win would be huge. There's no two ways about that. I just don't know if they're equipped to go and get it right now. I just feel like that game against the Saints and how they lost it, the way that Cam rallied them from like 21 down to tie it, then for the defense, just a dink, dink, dunk, 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 Drew Brees scores again, lights out, game over. And Cam's post-game press conference and how just sort of his dejection was all-encompassing. That looked to me like a leader who knew he didn't have the troops to battle and who knew this is not going to be our year. And I think he's probably right. When you can't rush the passer, when you can't protect people from rushing your passer, when the league MVP is getting battered and knocked around all over the place, when your defense has collapsed, it's hard to fix all that on the fly. There's no minor league system to call guys up from. You know, you're not going to completely reinvent yourself schematically in week 8. And I feel like Arizona was in a similar predicament 3-4 weeks ago, and while it hasn't been super pretty and they're still not the team many thought they'd be, I mean, a tie isn't as bad as a loss to Seattle. They've strung a few decent performances together. And, you know, I feel like they're going to hang around and be a factor. I mean, you know, if whoever loses this game obviously is in some trouble. I don't think either of those teams are hosting a home playoff game. Mm-hmm. And if either of those teams has to go on the road in January and try to win three times, I don't think it's happening, especially if Arizona has to come east. So I favor Arizona in this game. I don't think it's going to be a particularly attractive game. And if Carolina wins, it'll take a superhuman effort from Cam Newton. Arizona's defense is so good, and they're getting a pass rush. And, I mean, Mike Remmers is the Panthers' left tackle, and I don't even know who the right tackle is anymore. I mean, Michael Orr is out. He stunk when he was healthy. They can't keep people from, you know, running over Cam Newton.
Couple things about my team, the Bills. I feel like Belichick and Brady are going to want to stomp them after that loss at home. And what did you think of Gronk's interview?
Which one? Is this where he talks about the number of touchdowns he has in his career?
The
next one is? I mean, that's just maximum Gronk. I mean, you can just see that little gleam in his eye like he was praying somebody would ask him that question. He's like the best sixth grader in the world. I love him. I mean, he is what he is. Like, he's perpetually stuck in, like, sixth grade. Hey, he's a force. The Bills are beat up. I haven't been a big Bills believer, as you guys know. And I give them credit for this four-game run where they took advantage of the schedule going in their favor. But now it turns a little bit. And if Shady McCoy's not 100%, and even if he plays, he's not going to be 100%, they'll try to maybe force him through that game. But Marcell Dareus says he's going to play. We'll see how effective he is. He better play and play his butt off because, obviously, Miami ran the ball down their throat. Kyle Williams, I think, is nearing the end. And Bill Belichick is a smart guy. Josh McDaniels, their offensive coordinator, was a graduate assistant at Michigan State with Adam Gase, the head coach of the Panthers. Those two are incredibly close. I can guarantee you that McDaniels saw what Gase did, which was, okay, Rex, if you want to blitz 65% of the time, we're just going to keep running at your ends. And eventually, because you're bringing safeties and linebackers on the blitz, there's going to be no second or third level. And you may stop the run for a while, but we're going to pop some 30-yard and 50-yard runs on you. And that's what happened. JJIA went over 200 yards. I think they will use LeGarrette Blount a lot to bludgeon that defensive front. And then you'll hit Gronk and Bennett down the seam when Brady does find his hot receiver against the blitz. And you're right, that 13-0 game or whatever when Jacoby Brissett was playing quarterback without a thumb, that's not something that Belichick's going to take lightly. And the way that sort of Rex was caravanting afterwards, Belichick is out for blood. Now, we'll see. At times, Rex has had the ingredients to mix it up enough to neutralize the Patriots, particularly when he was with the Jets, but I'm looking at their injuries. I mean, Aaron Williams and, again, Dareus playing for the first time and the secondary beat up in general. I don't know, if they're catching New England at the time you want to catch New England.
So did you get the Gronkowski joke? Because it really seemed like he caught some people off guard and had to explain joke.
I would have gotten that joke at any point from probably age 11 to currently age 42. I may have been the one asking the question.
Jeez. What are the Patriots doing with Deion Lewis? They got 21 days to activate him. He's off the PUP list. How do they approach this given the success they've had and that, James White's been pretty all right.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if he's 100%, Lewis has a little more waggle, a little more ability to shake people off in space. He's a little more explosive than the other guy, I believe, and a little more trustworthy in pass protection. So they've got this luxury, though, of where they are in the standings that they don't need. It's kind of like the Cowboys with Tony Romo. There's no reason to rush anything. Make sure he's 1,000% ready before we bring him back. But they do expect him to play, and he was a factor for them last year. And he's such a change of pace to Blount. They'll find a spot for him on their roster. You don't have to worry about that. But, it just really will come down to his health and when they think he is ready to come back and not have to worry about an immediate setback or something that's going to, derail his season. But obviously, they've been plenty productive without him. But what he brings in the screen game is just, you know, another element that, you know, McDaniels will find a way to get him and White on the field at the same time. Like, they, you know, the more the merrier.
What do you see tonight? The AFC South has been awful for what seems like years. Could Tennessee be real this year or not?
I don't think anybody in that division is real. I wouldn't stump for any of them. Someone's going to win that division because they have to. Then a wild card team is going to go into their house and probably kick them in the face. Could that team that gets kicked in the face be Tennessee? Absolutely. They should have beat Indianapolis last week had they just stuck to the run and not tried to showcase Mariota and not get caught up in this Mariota versus Luck thing, because Mariota ain't close to Luck right now. But I think if they just keep it simple, stupid, play rugby on offense, create a few turnovers on defense, they could go 9-7 or 8-8 or whatever it takes to win that woebegone division. But I like the offensive line is legit. Nobody talks about it. You know, Russ Grimm, former great offensive lineman for the Washington Redskins, who took a few years off after his last stint in Arizona, kind of came out of quasi-retirement, and he's got that offensive line playing like the Hogs when the Redskins were in their heyday. Very physical. Both tackles, Conklin and Luan are maulers. They're getting it done in the trenches on both sides of the ball for the most part, and that's all it really takes in that division. I don't believe in Jacksonville at all. Blake Bortles has been god-awful and really has been for most of his career. If you take out what he does when his team trails in the second half by two scores or more, the numbers are pretty stark. I mean, when he has padded his numbers with touchdowns and yards, it's generally been garbage time. This is a do-or-die situation for the Jags. They don't start seasons particularly well. And I do feel like Tennessee, who's been horrible at home, I think they've won 3 of their last 19 home games, which is hard to fathom. This is the end of a 3-game homestand. They're 1-1 right now. If they can come out of that 2-1 and have themselves right around 500, I think that, you know, I think they can win that division. I do. It won't be sexy. It won't be pretty. They won't go anywhere in the playoffs. But Houston's quarterback stinks. Jacksonville's quarterback stinks. Indianapolis is a great quarterback, but literally nothing else. And I think Tennessee could be the lesser of all evils. Kind of like the election here in the States.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, that's a non-winning.
Halloween's scary.
There's no winners there. Jay, thank you, man. We will catch up on Monday and see how prepared you are for your big Halloween evening.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. I'll have all the details. Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, man.